even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to the inaugural episode of, well, we don't have a name for this show yet. But we will by the time we upload this. My name is Tim.
I'm Tom.
And we're the host of The Complete Guide to Everything, which is this other podcast, which if you're listening to this, you might know about.
Maybe.
But this is going to be a different podcast.
Yeah, about different things.
About pop culture and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Television shows, music, movies. You ever hear about any of these?
I've heard of all these things, Tim. I'm fans of them.
So as this is the first episode, the inaugural episode, I'm adjusting my microphone, which is probably very
You need the mic in a different place for different podcasts, different place for the mic.
Yeah. This might change at some point, but we're going to do what we got to do
here. Experiment.
Yeah. So first off, this episode, we're going to pretty much exclusively be talking about the television show Breaking Bad, and specifically the finale of Breaking Bad. So, A, if you're not a fan of the show, or B, if you're not caught up on the show, don't listen to this episode.
Well, I mean, listen, Tim, it's a free country. They can listen to it if they want, but listen at your own peril.
Depending on where you're listening to this from, it's...
I mean, if you're in North Korea, don't listen to this. You're breaking the law already.
Exactly. You're breaking bad yourself.
Yeah, well, they have very
strict... In the eyes of Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, they have very strict laws about breaking bad in that country.
Oh, they don't like it when anybody breaks bad.
No.
Not one bit.
No, but I was talking about watching the television show.
Oh, right.
So, Tim, Breaking Bad just ended. Season 5 ended last weekend.
Season 5, part 2.
Yeah. Well, you got that money back from iTunes, right?
Yeah, they did this thing where, because everybody's splitting these last episodes of, last seasons of TV shows into two parts. So
well, it's not just TV. They do it with movies now all the time. Any movies based on books.
That makes sense because that's any kind of franchise like that, right? Because it's like, oh, well, people
it's
this invested
last way to
in
milk.
It. Yeah. The TV
and we,
shows.
And we can film all this together, release one in the summer, one in the winter, the two most popular times for movies, and we got two hits instead
and now
of one.
I, yeah, exactly. Like Twilight. Now Twilight Part 6, Part 2, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's an Oscar film. And it, and then it went on to win all those Oscars, remember,
well,
Tom?
And they do it... I mean, it's really perfect because the second part comes out usually the week or week after... The part one comes out on like Blu-ray and digital download and everything.
Right.
So
synergy, Tom.
Synergy.
That's what it's all about.
Well, then you can buy one commercial and you can advertise two different things on it. Be like, buy this and go to this.
Yeah. Jerks.
Yeah.
Is what they say. Buy this, jerks. We've built
and,
you. To,
and
we've
and
built
after
you.
After you
this
bought
long.
That, go to this.
It's my understanding that they do that on television shows, though. So that they can squeeze a couple episodes out, like a show like Breaking Bad would have been a 13-episode season,
right?
And they got 16 episodes out of them. And also, they don't have to renegotiate, like, actor contracts, right, if they call it the same season.
Well, I would imagine not even just that they're calling
or
it the same season.
Crew.
They can just say, look, this is what we have on the table, you know, and we're going to negotiate for this.
Well, whatever. Episodes. Everybody went on iTunes, like me, who doesn't have cable or didn't have cable at the time. Great news, Tom. No. I have cable now. And I signed up. I was like, I'll buy season 5 and download them the next day. And what they were selling was season 5 part 1. Mm-hmm. And then
they call it a season pass.
Right. It didn't even occur to me that the season pass, like, I did not give them that much credit. Like, oh, and then in 8 months when season 5 part 2 comes, I'm sure they'll just send me these episodes as well.
Well, the money worked out, right? That what you paid was like a few dollars less than buying those
initial 8 episodes.
Yeah,
16 episodes.
Right.
So basically,
so you figured out like, they're not giving me like a tremendous deal.
I think a lot of these people that were outraged were feigning outrage, and then it totally worked when we all got an email that said, "All right, here's a $22.95 credit."
Yeah.
I was like, "All right, awesome." So anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about.
Nope.
The finale.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a divisive finale, right? People loved the show.
Yeah.
And then people pretty much loved the finale. You don't hear anybody talking badly about it, except for Chris Hardwick, who was talking bad about the whole thing.
Well, I think you misunderstand.
I can't believe they gave him a show where he would he'd come on after Breaking Bad and just talk bad about it.
No, that's not
on the
how
same
it
network.
Tim,
are these executives greenlighting this kind of thing?
No, he was actually a huge fan of the show. I think that's.
So why do you have so many bad things to talk about in relation to it?
It was a pun, but it was a pun based on The Talking Dead, which was a similar show he did about The Walking Dead. It's called The Talking Dead because it rhymed. And then Breaking Bad, they were like, we'll just do the same, even though it kind of doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
They could have just called it Talking Breaking Bad, and it probably would have been less confusing to you, at least.
Yeah. I don't think they should have called it anything, because I don't think it should have existed. However,
it makes so much sense. That show costs them $10 to make, and it gets better ratings than
Tom, I understand 90%. How they maximized corporate profits by doing that. I just
you
didn't
watch
think
it, didn't you?
I get angry 5 minutes in, which is weird because that's essentially what we're doing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Unauthorized, though.
Exactly. Once you officially
and
sanction
we're not
something,
getting paid for it.
Yeah, joke's on you, Hardwick. We're doing this for free. I actually like Chris Hardwick very much. You know what the thing is? I just wish they would have waited till it was over to do the postmortem. You don't need a postmortem on every episode
right
when it's like, oh, what do you think's going to happen next?
So you're saying
I don't know,
just like
wait a week.
A finale special.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I only watched, they put up like
make it the cast of Cheers on Leno, you know?
Yeah.
Like make it a really long drunken thing and like just have a good time, man.
They did that on Conan, but they did it like 3 days before it ended.
Yeah.
Well, because they want to promote it, but I agree, it would have been more fun. Like, no, do it after when cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
Or
the cat's in the bag and the bag's in the river, as it were.
Yeah. I watch, so besides Talking Bad, they did like Talking Bad overtime kind of thing that they would put on YouTube. Well, but that's the only thing I saw because I didn't have cable, and I just watched a clip of that because it had RJ Mitty and
Walter Jr.
Betsy Brandt. That's her name. Yeah.
Marie Schrader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flynn and Marie.
Mm-hmm.
But they like one of the questions to RJ was, what do you think Walt Jr.'s reaction would be if he found out about what's going on with Walt? And he answers and he's like, well, I think when Walt Jr. If Walt Jr., and like you can't blame him for that, but it's also like, of course he's going to find out. And like, you're asking, well, what do you think he's going to be like? He knows what he's going to be like because he did it.
Yeah. A man wrote
it,
words for him to
say.
He
did it 3 months ago and he acted it.
Yeah. So, all right. Anyway, this is an argument for in favor of uninformed people like you and I talking about it instead of bothering all these actors and creators. But we're not really here to talk about that either.
We're not here to talk about Talking Bad.
No, we're here to talk about the finale of Breaking Bad. First off, Tom, did you like it?
I did. I liked it a lot. You know, it was one of those things that, I mean, Breaking Bad's one of those shows where every week you're just thinking about, I mean, that's what made it such a great show. As soon as it ended, your brain for the whole week is like, man, what is going to happen next? And the most amazing thing about the show is very rarely did what you think was going to happen next.
Right.
But it still stayed within, it wasn't like an alien showed up. Like, right. It still stayed within reality.
For the most part.
For the most part. I mean, yeah. Yeah, things happened conveniently for certain characters, but like there was
especially
never,
especially in one particular episode, Tom.
But we'll get to that. But I try not to think too much about the finale, but I had heard, you know, everybody involved in the show reading up and listening to interviews and stuff saying like, nope, this finale, like, man, it's gonna rewrite how finales are. It's going to tie up all the loose ends. Like, it's not going to be an ambiguous ending. You know, it's not going to be the Sopranos cut to black. Like, nope, this has a definitive ending, which to me, I always took as like, well, Walt's going to die somehow, but right. We've already known like the cancer's back. So that you're not going to have in the last episode, oh, the cancer that came back. Yeah. It turned out he beat it again. You knew right. That at least that was going to get him in the end.
Sure.
But I tried not to get, you know, too worked up about it because sure. That's the thing. People walk into these things with these crazy expectations and they don't even know what they want to see.
Well, the thing is, there was this pool going around, I'm sure you saw. Like, mm-hmm. People were printing off this thing from the internet for, like, office pools and stuff.
Yeah, like, who's going to die? And
if they die, who's going to kill them? It's like, but my thing is, like, it's not the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's a story that they're telling.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's like, I don't want to
guess it. Yeah.
And the whole thing is like, oh, are you rooting for Walt? Or it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm watching a story unfold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, if this were real life, I'd be like, yeah, I hope this Walt guy goes to jail. A lot of people died because of him, and he's putting this terrible drug out there.
Yeah.
But
well,
like,
well, a very good drug. Very
well,
pure.
Yeah, but it creates more addicts, Tom.
Yeah.
But everybody's like, oh, are you team Walt? Can we stop being team things from now on? Can we just watch something and enjoy? Are you team werewolf or team vampire in the Twilight Zone movies?
Nope, you got it wrong.
But like, it's like, do we need to be team something? Can't yeah. We just be like, do you think people were watching like, I don't know, were you team Fredo or in The Godfather or you know like
yeah.
who cares? I don't know. I was watching the way the movie played out.
You realize, by the way, and I just realized this in you talking about this, that I think we're like maybe a year away from fantasy TV seasons, like fantasy football.
I'm sure, yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I'm going to have certain characters from all these shows.
Well, especially now that shows like anybody could die at any time.
Oh yeah, it's a big thing with TV shows nowadays. People die, you know, you don't watch Game of Thrones.
King of Queens, I do watch King of Queens. It's on three times a day on TBS and it's great.
And I'm not going to give anything away on that, but like that's that show's thing that like huge characters. And sometimes it's like multiple, like half the cast is just killed off.
Sure.
So, you know, that's just TV now. Anybody can die.
Right. But we're not here to talk about that, Tom. We're here to talk about the Breaking Bad finale.
Mm-hmm.
You
asked me if I liked it. I said yes.
Yes.
Did you like it?
I did like it with some reservations.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read some things online, notably from Norm MacDonald.
Mm-hmm.
And Emily Nussbaum, Nussbaum from The New Yorker,
mm-hmm.
who she's good. She writes a lot of good TV criticism for The New Yorker. And Norm MacDonald, of course, the comedian, funniest man on earth. Uh-huh. My favorite comedian since I was 13 years old,
uh-huh.
Norm MacDonald.
And your favorite professional golf tweeter. tweets, professional golf matches.
The reason I continue following him on Twitter despite that is because occasionally stuff like this will happen.
Yeah.
Where he will posit a theory. Actually, this has only happened once. and it's this. He'll posit a theory that it pretty much would erase any reservations I had about that last episode. And I was watching that last episode of Breaking Bad, and during one of the commercial breaks, I turned to the people I was watching it with. I was like, "Does episode feel weird to you? Like, does it feel like different than a normal episode?" They're like, "Yeah, it's just the finale, man." I was like, "I don't know. It just seems weird." And Norm MacDonald's theory is that the first scene, Walt's in the car,
yeah,
and it's covered in snow. And he's stealing a car, and he looks in the glove compartment, and all he finds is a cassette tape and a screwdriver, and he cannot start the car with the screwdriver, right? And typical Walt fashion, like, his plan is going awry, right? And normally Walt is really good at, like, correcting himself through it, right? And being like, oh, I'm going to have to improvise, but here we go.
Yeah, MacGyver something.
But he prays.
Mm-hmm.
And as the police go by, because they're going to the bar, presumably, that he was in.
Yeah, to look
for
him. Or
they're doing something. There are police out there, and he prays. Mm-hmm. He says, just get me home, and I'll do the rest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then right then, he looks under the visor. Sun visor thing, and keys magically fall out of there.
Yeah.
And then from it there on out, the rest of the episode, everything goes right for
everything
Walt.
Comes up Walt.
Which has never happened before in the series, right? It's never been like Walt's like, I have a plan, and then he just goes and executes it and gets what he wants out of it, right?
No, I mean, the most interesting thing about the show is that he'll execute plans that are amazing. You know, when he killed Gus, for example.
Sure, but that was his third plan to kill Gus.
Yeah, exactly. But whenever he does successfully execute a plan, it like levels up the problems he has.
Right.
That now he is pissed off or is somehow indebted to even more dangerous people.
Right. Or something like the train robbery, and then Landry, or Todd, as people who watch the show like to call him, kills Drew Sharp, the little boy.
Yeah.
Right? And that heightens, like, finally, something went off without a hitch. But also, it didn't even really go off without a hitch, because Bill Burr really had to do a lot of the heavy lifting, right? Because they were going to get him off there.
Yeah.
And like,
but even that, it was still like, well, there's just a high tension scene. Like,
right.
But
there was no high tension in this episode. Right?
Right.
Everything. All right. So.
Well,
he goes,
there was tension when they took the keys from him.
Barely.
Barely.
I feel like they
you
didn't
still,
even.
But
I
you
feel
still
like they
felt like
didn't want
he could
to have
dive
that.
For those keys.
Right. I feel like they did not. Like, that was put in just because, like, well, something's got to happen here, right?
But even when he's pulling up and the guy's like, park there. Hey, whoa,
we'll
whoa,
get to
whoa.
That. We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
He's
so,
like, eh, whatever.
So Walt goes. Hold on. Here's the theory.
Okay.
That Walt is diseased. And we know this. And he's actually dying in this car. And the police are closing in. And this is what his diseased mind, this is what his plan was. This is what he was envisioning. This whole last episode of Breaking Bad never actually happened. It's what he was imagining would happen. These were his plans, how a plan plays out in Walter White's head.
Right.
So, first place he goes, and with one small exception.
And that he's dying as this dream's happening in his head or whatever.
So, his first stop is Gretchen and Elliot's house, right?
The Schwartzes.
The Schwartz. They're super famous. Super rich.
They were on Charlie Rose.
Right. Just a couple days before, right? And he's just sitting out there in their garden or whatever, and he gets waiting. In and he follows them in.
Mm-hmm. They don't lock the door behind them. Even though they have an elaborate alarm system, they don't lock the door behind them.
Sure. They don't have like motion sensors out there that would
normal people have like motion lights.
And here and these things that I'm saying are the things that made me feel a little like they're kind of half-assing it, cutting corners in this episode, and why this theory kind of makes sense to me, because otherwise this show's all about process, right? This is all about the method by which Walt does things, and it's about like the nuts and bolts. Like it's never anything just happened and it was like, oh yeah, he probably sweet talked that person or snuck by. It's like you always see
every part, and things come back, and it might be improbable, but there's still something,
right? And he goes, and then he goes and is just wandering around their house while they're having their yuppie conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, which I haven't been able to see, I don't have a good HD copy of this, but he's looking at the pictures. And he had a previous romantic relationship with Gretchen, right?
Right.
And if you don't watch this show, or I'm sorry, but I don't know why you're listening to this. But he picks up a picture and he's looking at a picture. And supposedly, that's a picture of him and Gretchen.
Right.
From their, like, dating days.
Yeah. Which would be a weird thing for...
An unbelievable thing for them to have. I don't think...
For them to have out on there with all their other pictures of, you know, them as a married couple.
Right.
For them to have her ex-boyfriend from, like, 25 years ago.
Who she has been telling everybody who will listen... I have no
connection
with him in any way. We haven't known
him.
Yeah,
it's like hurting their stock price in the story,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Like if somebody, if a reporter were to come in there and see that picture, that'd be... So like it'd be a liability for them. And also like she hates him so much. When she sees him, she hates him so much.
Yeah.
Especially because she hated him from when she went and talked to Skylar. Because Skylar thought he was having an affair with her. Remember that?
Yeah.
And so she...
Well, and the last time Walt saw her, he told her to go fuck herself.
Yeah.
That was their F word for the season.
Yeah. So anyway...
I just use ours.
Yeah. We're going to make this a clean podcast, Tom. So anyway, there's that thing, that unbelievable thing that like would have happened in his imagination. Though.
Yeah, that she still would have held a candle for him or whatever.
The way he speaks is just the way Mike speaks. The way he walks around.
Yeah.
He's like, I think the character of Walt in some way admired Mike.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And I think he's like, I'd walk in there like Mike, and this is exactly what I'd do. You can totally see it when Elliot has the little knife, and he goes, Elliot, if we're going to go that route, you're going to need a bigger knife. Like, that is exactly Mike.
Yeah,
right there.
Mike's had so many just, like, tired, like...
Yeah.
You don't want to do it this way.
Oh, by the way, I think Bryan Cranston was the only guy who was in on this, by the way.
Oh, you think, like Vince Gilligan told Bryan Cranston, like, this is your dream.
Yeah.
But I'm not telling anybody else.
Right.
But this is how I want you to play it.
Right.
Okay.
He does that thing with the laser pointers, Badger and Skinny Pete. Two episodes ago, dude didn't know Badger and Skinny Pete's name.
Yeah, but somehow he got in contact with them,
right,
even though he's a wanted man.
Oh, by the way, he drove all the way from New Hampshire to New Mexico, talking to waitresses and without anybody catching on.
And it's a big enough story that they have the founders of Grey Matter on Charlie Rose to talk about him.
Right.
And you don't see Vermont plates around that, you know, it's a very small state. If you were in Ohio and saw Vermont plates, it would arouse suspicion.
Exactly.
It wouldn't arouse suspicion, but it'd be tough for him.
He finds
Badger and Skinny Pete.
Right. And he has them, kind of just execute his plan, but they act the exact same way. Like, I think it was weird when I turned to people, it's like, this is like a weird episode, right? This feels weird. I think it feels like a dream sequence, not a dream sequence, but like, I feel like the acting is a little stilted, mm-hmm. and the dialogue isn't as great. And I apologize if that isn't their intention. Yeah. Like, I don't know how many other episodes Vince Gilligan has written since the pilot, yeah. but it's got to be he at least writes the finales and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think he probably does like a pass on all of that. Right. Whatever.
It just seemed to me that, like, especially that conversation between Skyler and him mm-hmm. seemed pretty like dreamlike. And remember the last time they saw each other, they were fight. She was going to stab him with a knife
mm-hmm.
and she lets him go kind of stroke their baby's hair after he kidnapped her.
Yeah.
Like 4 or 5 months ago. And then just left her at a firehouse, like
yeah.
That, no, and I mean that's plausible. They'd been married for 20 years or whatever. Who knows? But
in reality, you would think she'd still be afraid of him,
right?
And yeah, would like have a weapon in the house or would at least lock the doors.
Well, and that's the problem here,
especially when. You know, Marie calls her, but it's already known that like he's out.
Yeah, he's
the
back
police would have.
They've seen him places, right?
Yeah.
And she clearly the police are at Skylar's house, right?
Yeah.
And she said, "You didn't hurt anybody to get in here. You didn't kill anybody." He said, "No, I didn't have to." And they even bring it up.
Yeah.
Right? This show is all about the process though, right? It wasn't like when they were stealing, when a few seasons ago, Walt and Jesse were stealing the.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Methylene or whatever. Yeah. Remember, like, they were going into the compound. And then the guy, they had to lock the guy in the porta potty or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
There was some, like it was not just like, oh, we broke in and got it. Like,
yeah.
Whenever on this show has it been like, oh no, I slipped in past the police.
Yeah.
Like,
and we already know we see that the police are at Marie's house. Of
yeah.
course, they'd be at Skylar's
right.
house already.
Same thing in the diner. If everybody's on the lookout for Walt, mm-hmm. how is he sitting at that diner table? For 10 minutes before...
It's a Denny's, Tim.
No.
It wasn't a Denny's
when
in
he
one?
Was meeting Landry, when
oh,
he was meeting
yeah, yeah,
Todd
yeah.
and Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, it's just, like, I understand...
And he looks like he's got, like, the old army jacket on, he's disheveled, and he's by himself, he hasn't ordered anything.
He looks like the
anything.
Unabomber.
Yeah.
Like Marie says.
Yeah, he hasn't ordered anything, like, that would attract attention. Yeah. People would look at that person and then be like, wait a minute, I think that's that person from the news.
This is never a show that has been on a time crunch at the end, either.
Yeah.
Like, they plot this stuff meticulously.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand why they wouldn't show, like... him putting the stevia in the the ricin in the stevia. I understand it was a payoff, but like,
but they were also telegraphing that
yeah.
episodes beforehand. But then them showing her pouring, you know, that was to really drive the point
right.
home. So yeah, I feel like they would have normally in any other episode had a clever way to show how he got that in there.
For a show that never glosses over the details,
yeah, this episode
glosses over all those details. And it would be possible, and one could argue that, like, oh no, that would just take 3 episodes if they showed everything you wanted them to show.
Yeah.
But, like, that's kind of the way the show operates.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird to me that they abandoned that on the last
episode,
right? And then the stuff at the compound, like, it was really cool, but the odds of everybody, of him being able to position that car correctly
to get literally
everybody except for Landry, except for Todd. I call him Landry because of he was Landry on Friday Night Lights, but except for Todd to get killed by Jesse, and then
so Jesse gets that payoff,
and then the leader Jack, the other bad guy, only gets
He's mortally wounded, but he can still talk.
Right. The odds of that happening, and like him pulling into the place, and them being like, okay, or just park here, I guess.
Yeah.
Like him recognizing that, like, he would have to park, and like people laying down weird for him in that situation. And also, like,
and everybody in that compound came into the room.
And it's not the kind of show where somebody would freak out like Uncle Jack. And that's not even in his character when he's like, oh, Jesse's your partner. It's not in his character that he'd be like, no.
Show him before we kill him.
Exactly. Like, I think this is like a superhero story in Walt's mind. Yeah. I don't think it's ever been this way. Even in previous seasons where he did things like blow up Tuco's thing or whatever, like, or wherever he was. Like, I don't think it was ever that necessarily like, oh, this guy's like a superhero. I think this is, in his mind, how he makes things right. And also, how great of an ending would that be? Everybody gets what they want. Because if you disagree with me that this is what happened, or Norm MacDonald, and you thought it was great, like, awesome. But, like, for someone like me who's cynical, who wanted to see it, like, no, I wanted the hell that he wrought to, like, be laid clear. We had two episodes of that. We had Ozymandias, where everything went to shit. Hank dies. And the last one, where he's just wasting away in a cabin while his family is wasting away in the poorhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
And they hate him. Mm. And, like, that's how I believe the series ends.
Yeah.
With him dying in a car, destitute and alone, and his with $10 million in the trunk that he wanted to give to his family, everybody's lives ruined, and, like, he does not avenge anybody.
Well, and that's the other two things. You know, his plan, it seems brilliant to have the Schwartzes give that money. And, you know, he's got the whole, like, you do not pay one dime because, you know, he's very proud or whatever. But the Schwartzes, you don't have, you know, everything you know about them, they would have absolutely no idea how to launder $10 million. Yeah. Nor would they want, like, that they would be much more inclined to throw that money in the fireplace and give them $10 million themselves than for them to be in any way implicated in this. And tied into that, they're billionaires. They
gave $28 million just as a PR thing.
Right.
$10 million to save their lives would be
They would literally just throw that money in the fire, be like, we don't know how to launder money. We don't want to get involved. We saw what happened to our friend that got involved in this world. It's not worth it. He'll know if we give the money or not. Or if we go to the authorities, but we're not going to mess with this money. So the idea that they would be able to do anything like that is crazy. But then the idea, too, when Walt gives Skyler the lottery ticket and says, use this to, you know, it's where Hank and Steve are. Use this to negotiate.
Gomi. Please call him Gomi.
use this to negotiate, you know, for something. I don't think that would be much to negotiate with. Like, that wouldn't get her off. She wouldn't be able to go in there and be like, so my defense is that I wasn't involved in this. I know nothing of it. But Walt came and visited me. He got through your lineup. You don't know about this. And this is the first time you're hearing this. And I know where they're buried now. And I'll tell you in exchange for immunity.
Right.
They would be like, nope.
Well, that's the thing. Everything about these last episodes, there's no way you can tie this up in a nice package. Because it's always, like what you said, his plan always is successful, but then a little more happens. And he's ultimately, that was the thing, at the end of Ozymandias, he calls Skyler and he thinks he's got it all wrapped up.
Yeah.
He's going to only implicate himself on the phone.
Yeah.
And it's like, nope.
Yeah, it's not the way things work. Like, they don't give up that easily. They don't care about making her life hell.
The other thing about the Schwartzes is that if somebody came to you working on their own and was like, I gave hitmen $100,000 to follow you around for years.
Yeah, you'd be like, I don't think so.
Or you did, and then you die.
They don't
Why
care.
Would
yeah.
they do that if yeah. they're criminals?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's the other, like, not... But there's, like, all these loose... Everybody's been saying, like, oh, this was great. It tied up every loose end. No, it didn't. If the one thing this show teaches you is that even when you
there's
think you've tied up
in
a loose end, you haven't.
Yeah.
That just sets off another chain reaction of other loose ends.
Yeah.
You, like, untie other things to tie off that loose end.
Yeah. And then, that's what the whole show's about.
Yeah.
And that's that show would have been one episode long if it weren't for that.
Yeah,
because pretty much like it if not the first episode, it's like the first couple of episodes, like he makes enough money that he wanted to leave to his family. Like he achieves that goal very quickly, but then the whole show is about, well, it's not that easy,
right? And that's the fucking thing about the show. It's not that easy.
Yeah.
Whatever
and that's
Walt
why
thinks,
people don't do this.
Whatever Walt's plans are, it's not that easy. And so in this episode, everything is that easy.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm pretty convinced those were just Walt's plans. I don't even think it was a dream sequence. I think it was like him thinking through his plan.
Yeah. Like imagine if it starts with, imagine if I just put down the visor and check for the keys, which anyone from any movie who's watched a movie knows that that's the first thing you do.
Yeah.
Even though nobody in real life ever puts their keys above the visor, that's the first thing you check in movies.
And that song that he listens to in the car that he finds the tape of.
Yeah.
What's the name of it? El Paso?
Yeah.
And he
you know, does the Fonz move to knock the snow off the window.
Right. But the words of that song...
Yeah, a bullet might find me tomorrow.
But it is about a man who gets shot.
Yeah.
And as he's dying, is hallucinating about this girl, Felina, about how he went and avenged her.
Ah.
And that's the name of the episode, Felina.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any coincidence that, like, that's what that song's about, and that's the title of this episode.
Yeah.
So anyway...
But they're just not going to spell it out for you.
I think it's a brilliant way to kind of make everybody happy.
Yeah.
Because the people that are like, who wanted to see every loose end tied up, and I would argue those people, no, I'm not going to be condescending because screw that. Like, everybody gets what they want to out of things. But like, for me, it would be like, I don't think this should have every loose end tied up because... That's not what the show is about. In fact, the show is about the exact opposite of that, right?
Yeah.
I think this allows them to be coy, and I think Vince Gilligan will never come out and say it because that would just ruin it.
Yeah.
It was the same thing. It's like I think he learned his lesson from the Lost showrunners who were like, listen, it's not purgatory. And then Lost spoiler.
Yeah.
It kind of was purgatory, but not really. They talked too
much.
It
was only purgatory at the very end, even though everybody guessed the whole show was purgatory.
Right. But I don't know. I think Vince Gilligan is just like, yeah, no, it's really cool, right?
Yeah.
And like he's not coming out and being like, look deeper. Because everybody was happy with it.
Right.
And people like me who were like, everything happened a little too easy, and then I thought about it, and I read about it a little more. I was like, oh, that's brilliant that everything happened too easily.
Yeah.
And now I get to feel superior to people who liked that.
Well, I mean, anything good, artistic, there are different ways to interpret it. And I think even I would say not even that Vince Gilligan wouldn't say that maybe... Even to him, he's not sure that's like an option to him. And I could see him still saying, play this out like this is Walt's dream, or, you know, this is everything goes to Walt's plans, and it being ambiguous to kind of everyone, like, you know, because that's another satisfying ending. Like the idea that the show about not being able to tie up loose ends, that there's always more loose ends. Every loose end finally got tied up.
Well, the thing you could think is say he finally admitted.
Oh, that he finally did it because he liked it.
He's he finally stopped lying to everybody, including himself. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he did that, he was able to redeem himself.
Yeah.
That's fine too, right?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
And that would make this all reality-based. And it was mm-hmm. like, as soon as he dropped the high, he was pretending when he was original Walter White, he had this Heisenberg. Underlying kind of pride and like felt screwed and like all this angst. And then Heisenberg was like,
his alter ego.
And it was like, I'm doing this for the good of my family. And then as soon as he saw that stuff happening on Charlie Rose, that was like another transformation to mm-hmm. him being like, nah, I just got to be honest with myself.
Yeah.
Here's what, like, no, I'm mad about the meth. I was doing this for myself. Uh-huh. And I actually do want to help my family. And, and that allowed him to redeem himself.
Well, and you could also, yeah, you could interpret it as that was what was whole, you know, he's always portrayed as a genius.
His hubris was holding him back.
Yeah. And like once that stopped and once he fully embraced this, yeah, that's when, you know, the inner Lex Luthor or whatever was able to successfully completely execute a plan with no loose ends and everything's tied up.
So you're not on board with this Norm Macdonald theory, right?
I'm not against it. The only problem I have with it is that and again it's like a nitpicky thing.
Okay.
That how would he know what Jesse's situation was?
All right. Here's all right. Well, here's the big thing. Here's the one that they here's the things that people said to Norm Macdonald. I asked Norm Macdonald to be on the show. For some reason, he declined. To be honest, he didn't even respond.
Wow.
Rude.
Yeah, very rude.
Number one, he wouldn't know that Jesse was in there.
Yeah.
His argument is that he deduced that
because
from
the blue meth still being.
Yeah, and
like they didn't
everything
kill
happens
him,
on this
yeah.
show for a reason, right? And the fact that they mentioned that the blue meth was still out there, that was news to him when he heard that on Charlie Rose.
Yeah.
And he knows that the only other person that can make that is Jesse. And he also knows that the Nazis would not make him an equal partner, nor would he allow himself to be an equal partner with the Nazis. Like,
yeah.
Knowing both Uncle Jack
and before
and Jesse,
even that, he would have deduced, yeah, you know what? One type of person I can't take for their word would be neo-Nazis.
Exactly.
Maybe they didn't keep their word about killing Jesse.
Right. So, I mean, that's the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing regarding Jesse was they had that dream sequence where Jesse is cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But first, he's dreaming about that box that he made that he talked about in when he was back in therapy in like season 3.
Yeah, and I saw some critic where they were like, and it kind of got me mad because they didn't catch that reference, and they were like, it was the symbolism was he was making a tiny coffin. It's like
no.
He talked it. It was like a. Yeah. It wasn't a big thing, but it was an important character thing when he talked about making this perfect box.
Right. But the other thing is he never, like, Walt wasn't there when he saw that. And Walt wouldn't know that he was chained to that dog run doing that, right?
Yeah, but that, like, that I would forgive because you wouldn't have a dream sequence where it's like, oh, the layout was different. Like, you have to give, if you're going to believe that kind of thing.
Well, here's the thing. this is Norm Macdonald's explanation for it, and I think that it actually explains it a little better. He says, slyly, Gilligan Vince Gilligan.
Mm-hmm. Gilligan from Gilligan.
No, he would not be capable of producing such an intricate television show. Yeah, no, he'd bungle this thing from episode one. Let me tell you. Gilligan sidesteps Walt's dying thoughts for a moment in order to show us something. First, a soft focus shot of a happy Jesse with his wood thing, then the jarring image of Jesse in a gothic nightmare. This was Gilligan giving us a clue as to where a man's mind can travel in order to escape the inescapable death he has created for himself.
That's true.
So it's just like, while Waltz lasts for this entire episode, a dying man's thoughts, he just breaks in and shows us Jesse's dying man's thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, which they've never showed before. They've never had, like, right? I can't think of any time they've had, like, a fantasy sequence in the show, so.
And then the third thing people say is that makes the flash forwards at the beginning of season five, part one, and the beginning of season five, part two, parts of Walt's dream.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Oh, and then number four, how would Walt know about... And this is the one that most, I think, pokes the hole in the theory.
Okay.
How would Walt know... Skyler says to Walt, three masked men came in and threatened Holly.
And he never knew that.
Right. Norm MacDonald's explanation for it... I never thought I'd be citing him in, like, an even semi-scholarly fashion, but... Here we are. That's another situation where how did those guys get in there? The cops were stationed outside her house. That was Walt's
imagination
earlier. Mm-hmm. Like in that episode, you're seeing that, which there's kind of no precedent for that. Like,
yeah.
But if that's the only thing, I think that can kind of be explained away. And now there are other things coming in that, like, in certain scenes you can hear the same wind that is in the car that you hear. Like, in that first scene, you can also hear that wind faintly in Skyler's scene. I think as this theory gets more legs and goes out there...
People will find stuff.
I think you'll find some stuff. I'm sure there'll be, like, visual clues and, like, some stuff. And if so, that... is fucking amazing, right? That would be awesome if it actually, like, unfolded to the point where,
everything's there.
Yeah, everything, not like last scene in The Sopranos where everything's there, but unless you have, like, a film studies master's degree, you won't get it. Like, I think enough close watching and the power of the internet will, like, kind of turn the tide. And if this does have legs, I think, like, over time, more and more people will come to this and, like, be like, oh, yeah, I think that's what it was. And, like, that would be awesome for everybody to love it pretty much without reservation when it first airs, and then also have their feelings and theories about it evolve over time and they still like it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the coolest thing. And, like, that's something, like, only this show could pull off, I think.
Well, and it's...
If any show is going to do it, this one would be able to.
And it's still not a bad ending because... Or, like, a bad ending for all the other characters because, you know, Marie even says to Walt, like, why don't you just kill yourself? Because that really is the solution to most of the problems. That if Walt were dead, and you have to believe, like...
Then everybody could just move on.
Yeah, if Walt's dead, the DA is probably not going to go after Skyler anymore. You know, they're just going to, like, drop the case because it's...
Everybody's got closure.
There's nobody to go find.
Walt Jr.'s not worried about his dad out there in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Or is he going to come find me?
Yeah.
Jesse's screwed either way. And also, if Jesse gets away, if that was reality and Jesse got away... That guy's garbage for the rest of his life.
Well,
there's no redeeming this guy.
No, and they've shown over and over, like, you know, he's the heart of the show, but he's deeply flawed. Like, you know, he relapses. He's pressured and easily fooled into doing things over and over again. When he's driving away, like, yeah, you hope like he's gonna drive to Alaska and start a new life, but like,
but what do you?
He's got no money. He's got no skills. Like, he's probably gonna fall back into. But hey, no, he's got one skill. He's really good at making crystal meth.
Yeah, and where did Robin Williams have his alcohol relapse, Tom? Alaska.
Is that true?
It's true. He talked about it on The Daily Show last week.
Yeah, and yeah, if you were in Alaska, yeah, you would get the idea like, let me start making crystal meth, because they do crystal meth like crazy in Alaska, because there's, you know, nothing else to do. And, you know, maybe it'd be safer there because you wouldn't be so close to the Mexican gangs that are, you know, insane and, you know, just murder anyone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you get the idea like, ah, this guy's screwed whether he's saved or not.
I think the point of the show is that Walt is a
happy
cancer.
That Walt's dead.
Yeah. But Hank's still dead. That doesn't bring Hank back.
Yeah.
Everybody's screwed. Everybody sucks. But, like, life would be better without...
Yeah, without
Walt, because he was a cancer doll.
Yeah.
I think we're good, right?
Yeah. So overall, Breaking Bad as a series.
F minus.
2 out of 3 stars.
I can't believe you guys listened this far if you did. Actually, no, that was, here's the thing. I wanted to get this out because, like, I feel like nobody is actually talking about this other than Norm Macdonald on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I think it's got legs. If you disagree or if you have any other qualms about it or theories or ideas, email us. For now, we'll just use thecompleteguidetoeverything@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
A quick note about this show. If you listen to our other show, The Complete Guide to Everything, it's a comedy podcast that we do weekly for the people that don't listen. But if you do listen... This is something that we wanted to go in-depth and, like, not try to do stupid one-liners or something every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
More.
We want to make something boring.
Yeah. So I hope you liked it. If you do like it, tell your other friends about it. Have them subscribe. Leave a comment. We're going to do more, like, music, movie, TV show stuff on this. Just stuff that we'd mostly talk about at the bar otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, hope you like it. And this will evolve. This one went way longer than we had expected.
Yeah.
But
it was fun. A good time was had by all.
Tom.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed spending this time with you.
I thought that this whole thing was my dream sequence while I was dying. That's how happy I was about
it. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
The fantasy that would play out in my head.
I mean,
if I were in my last breath,
the perfect podcast. All right. All the loose ends were tied up.
See you next time.
TCGTE.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.